SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coach James Young is badass. Betting Above the Rim is badass. His podcast is always on Coast to Coast talking rack. Thank God for him. Great coach, great person. He's ugly, though. Anyway, I want to start with this. We're going to get into the pros. I'm just kidding. But before I do, yeah, so they went on a ski trip and they got back. There was a blizzard, so they got trapped in the mountains with the snow and they didn't make it back in time for practice. So Fatso benched her, and so they had a game last night and she got benched. She didn't play till like the last 2 minutes of the game, and she still knocked down three threes or something like that. And you know, I was talking to the guys coach. He saw me balling the other day. I think on Saturday or something, I was balling. And he, maybe it was Sunday, I don't know. I think it was Saturday. And I balled in the morning, and then I balled again. I balled for like 4 hours. And I saw him, and he asked me about it. And I said that this woman has sucked the life out of my daughter, and that she doesn't love the game anymore because of this chick. And she doesn't know how to coach. She doesn't know what a screen is. She doesn't know anything. And I hate her dead. And that the assistant played for Jasper, as you know, she won a state title. Or both of her parents played D1 at like Michigan and Notre Dame. And then they got this fat thing coaching them. And it's the worst thing that's ever happened. I can't even stand her. And I call her every name in the book, Miss Available, you name it. I never say anything to anybody ever. And I finally told him, he goes, what's the matter with Chop? I go, she hates the game now because of this chick. She doesn't want to play college basketball because of this chick. She's not even good enough to, because this chick hasn't coached her or taught her anything. All she does is run around the rim like she's a horse at the horse track around the rail looking for threes. Never had a screen in her life. I go, all she does is count the days till the season's over, till the games are over. I live to play, right? Every day I live to play. Meanwhile, I got a kid that this woman sucked the life out of her. I hate her dead. I really do. I can coach better in a toilet bowl, drunk like a sailor, with a big doobie sticking out of my mouth and corn cob in my ear.
So does that mean you want me to come out of retirement and be the new head coach up there? I mean, let's be honest, folks. I pulled up Chop Suey, her stats. Folks, this is what drives me crazy about basketball. McKenna's got 75 made baskets in her high school career. Seven of them were twos. The girls got 68 threes and seven twos in her career. I'll give you one better.
It's embarrassing. He's
got 31 threes and one two. We gotta figure something out.
We got nothing but problems. No one cares about my daughter except you and I. And I hope everyone has a miserable day. Mafia hates her too, apparently. Like, he's turned on her too. Like, who hasn't? All right, let's talk about the NBA. I want to pull up the West first and ask you this question. So I said that I like the Thunder, the Grizzlies, and the Rockets. And the other teams are all about ISO superstars. I'm not wrong. You got Joker, you got Luka, you got Ant Edwards, but these other three teams are actual basketball teams that play basketball and have five and have four more sitting on the bench that can ball. They got 90, all three of those teams.
Yeah, and what team I'm fading right now, right there, plus 850, is the Dallas Mavericks. They just got the news that Derek Lively II is coming out for 2 to 3 months with a foot fracture. I will say this, folks, they took it down on FanDuel. I'm going to say this. I don't think Dallas even makes the playoffs. I don't think they make it. My concern with them is they're top heavy. Luka's missed 23 games already. Kyrie misses games all the time. They don't have the depth. So I think you're on to something, Pharrell. Depth matters. Coaching matters. And I was so big on Houston before the season started, because take away his transgressions off the floor. Ime Udoka is one hell of a coach.
He's great.
Hell of a coach. And he's got that team playing well, and they're deep. Think about this. Reed Shepard don't even see the damn floor. He doesn't even see the floor. And he was the number three pick, and we thought he may have the best pro career. He doesn't see the floor.
It's Thunder. Scores 45 in the G League, though.
It's Thunder, it's Nuggets, it's Rockets. Then there's a drop-off, but it'll be interesting to see what happens, right? The trade with between Utah and Phoenix. That's a lineup for them trying to get Jimmy Butler, right? A 2031 pick. Matt Ishbia don't care about 2031. He needs to win now. So he got some draft capital. You look at them. What about a team that I think is that's not even on that board? Like the Beam. I would sell it on them. Doug Christie's done a hell of a job.
I that just said that. Can make a run. They're hot. Watch out for them.
And I actually think Pharrell, I'll leave with this. I think Sacramento is going to win that division. It was plus 550 on Monday. It's plus 460 now. I know they have the eighth toughest schedule the rest of the way, but they're playing well, and I got a feeling they're going to make a move. Look out for someone like Cam Johnson possibly going to somewhere like Sacramento.
How about what if they won 11 of 12? I said earlier I go to team that against the spread that's been the hottest in January. They were one of the five best, and I said that's because they played the best ball overall in January of any team in the NBA. They've won like 11 of 12. They've been tearing it up. I said in the East, there's two teams that matter. It's the Celtics and the Cavaliers. Now, I know our Knicks beat them in the playoffs. And I know everyone thinks that the Knicks are better than the Cavs, but they aren't. The Knicks have five. I think the Cavs are 10 deep. I think they're dangerous. I think they're more exciting. I think the rivalry with the Thunder is the best thing going in the NBA. And if the Knicks play the Cavs right now, I'm betting on the Cavs to beat the Knicks because they're better and deeper. And I think Kenny's, you know, for my money, I like Kenny as a coach. And I think what you said about Aduka, I said it earlier too. I said Aduka, I said he might very well be the best coach in the NBA, pure coach. I know Spo's great, and I can sit here and talk about Mazzulla, but for my money, despite what he did in the office and hitting on chicks, Aduka can flat-out coach. I think Kenny can flat-out coach. The Cavs, to me, are money, and so are the Celtics.
Listen, the Knicks have problems. They got problems. They're dealing with injury concerns with Brunson. You got the chip bone in the finger of Cat. They don't have depth. We don't know if Mitchell Robinson comes back. They need to make a move. Here's what's great about Cleveland, and you said it, Pharrell. It's the sum of their parts. They have, right. I think I've got it right. I think they have like seven, I think they have eight guys that are averaging 7.6 or more. They can beat you in different ways. And Donovan Mitchell is so much under control. Great job by Kenny Atkinson. I knew he was going to be a great coach when he got another chance. That's part of that whole thing of going to go with Kerr, learn that split screen action, that team ball, and bring the player personnel, player development. He's done a hell of a job. He's not the coach of the year for me. I know they lost last night. To me, it's still Jamal Mosley of the Orlando Magic with all the injuries he's had to deal with.
Fair enough, but I just don't – I'm not afraid of them. It's like last night they got their ass beat.
Oh, no, I'm not afraid of them. But you know I'm not afraid of? Giving some picks. I want to try and give some picks real quick.
All right, give me those NBA plays.
We're going to go with the Timberwolves on the money line. I think Dallas is in deep trouble. Pistons, Hawks under. You're like, wait, Pistons, Hawks under? Yes. The Pistons are playing really good basketball. By the way, J.B. Bickerstaff needs to be talked about coach of the year. Cavs, Rockets under, same thing. I think it's a slowdown, grind out. Two really good games in the NBA. And then the Kings, 7-point spread over the Warriors. I think the reign is over in Golden State. It's time to rebuild.
Bro, did you see them get bent over by the Celtics? I bet on the Celtics in that one. I said they're going to whack them. I didn't think they'd whack them by 45. When we come back, we'll talk college rack with Coach Young.
Oh, 45.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're talking to Coach Young, and now we're going to hit college. So I was looking at Lenardi's bracketology. I do Lenardi's, Palms, and DeCourcy's. Every week, look at their bracketology for the tournament, everything else. So I'm looking at this right now. His last four in are Pitt, Nebraska, UCF, and Indiana. The last team in is Indiana. And I got to tell you, their schedule the rest of the way is brutal. They have no impressive wins whatsoever, maybe one the entire season. I know they have you know, 13 wins or whatever, that doesn't do anything for me either when you don't beat anyone that's good. I've seen their schedule. They're not winning these big heavyweight games that they're playing. Whenever they play anyone good, they get their ass beat. When they play average teams, like I couldn't even believe they won in overtime in Columbus, to be honest with you. And I couldn't believe Ohio State won at Mackey in West Lafayette last night. But you were talking to me before the show, and you said you talked to Goody. He thinks Woodson's out in Bloomington. What'll it be? Their 15th coach since Bob Knight? Mm-hmm. Like, they can't get it right.
Well, they got it wrong. You know, I talked about it during the commercial break 2 segments ago. They messed up. This whole thing of taking guys from the we got to take a guy from the family. We got to take a guy from the – when has that worked? Patrick Ewing, no. Chris Mullin, no. Hubert Davis, okay, in the beginning, then no. Kyle Neptune, assistant to Jay Wright, right? Mike Woodson, right? Like, stop. They had a chance. They could have got Dusty May. He's got Michigan top 25 in the land right now. And if you take a look at Indiana, folks, I want you to understand something. Ready? At Northwestern, home Maryland, at Purdue, at Wisconsin, home Michigan,
loss,
at Michigan State,
loss,
home
loss,
UCLA, home Purdue. Pharrell, if they loss, don't beat Maryland, they may not win a game until they play Penn State at the end of February. And I think Penn State's making the NCAA tournament. So where is the win? You wouldn't give the money to Omar Bala. That is absolutely failed. Simply put, Goody's right. If they don't make the tournament, Mike Woodson should be fired within 20 minutes of that last game.
So the first four out, he's got Cincinnati, Texas, SMU, and Ohio State, then Iowa, Xavier, VCU, and Penn State all out. I actually think of all those teams, Xavier, to me, what they did, like they won at the Fiserv against Marquette. That's a heavyweight win.
That's a heavyweight win, and they're playing good basketball. The thing about it is people just are continuing to not look at the Big East as being a good league or as a quality league. But that's a good win. I think 59-57, they won over Marquette. So they've done a good job. Sean Miller, listen, another guy, done a lot of bad stuff. Sean Miller can coach. I mean, Sean Miller can coach. And he kind of did something interesting where he kind of went and said there's tiers to this in regards to refereeing and stuff. They're a team to watch out for in the Big East. I still think right now, Pharrell, the best team in the Big East, ready? St. John's. You know this. If St. John's is playing well, if they're playing well and they're at the Garden in the Big East tournament, buckle up, the Johnnies.
All right, give me your college plays for tonight. And then if there's time left, I'll tell you who these number one and twos are in this Lenardi bracket right now.
I'm going to first go off with Houston minus 18.5 versus Utah. Houston team has played really well, won winners of 10 games in a row. They are 6-4 against the spread, but they had a close one a couple of days ago. Kelvin Sampson will have that team ready to go. Give me Houston minus 18.5. Next, I'm going to go with Kansas minus 5.5. This is a team that's underachieved, but for all, they have four losses. All four losses, Creighton isn't ranked, I think maybe they're ranked now, are all to ranked teams. Jamie Dixon's team, this is a down year. Kansas got to get going. Give me Kansas minus 5.5. Next, really good game. Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Chris Beard is one of the best in the country. As you bang a little bit of juice, we're at minus 156, but I'm on him. Give me Ole Miss to get the win at home. And then give me the Northwest Wildcats minus 5.5 over Indiana. We just talked about it, Pharrell. I don't know where their next win is.
Yeah, Northwestern, though, I saw them bricking free throws against Michigan in overtime over the weekend. They were atrocious at the line. I think Indiana's got a shot in that game tonight. So Auburn's the number one in the South. Iowa State, the number one in the West. Duke, the number one in the East. And Alabama, the number one in the Midwest. And that is in Indianapolis, that region. Alabama's been winning some big games lately. They're starting to kick people's asses.
Yeah, they really are. And listen, the big thing that Alabama did is when you think about them, Pharrell, is their defensive play. Number one, they're one of the fastest teams in the country. Number two, they're one of the most efficient teams in the country. They're fast and they're efficient. That means they're dangerous. Now, I don't agree with Nate Oates' three or key philosophy, no pull-up Jays. You know how we've talked about that in the past. But I thought getting Cliff Amore at the center position and moving Nelson to the four to protect him really is going to help them out. I think that that team should be in play to win the national title.
So the Johnnies are at the Garden tonight, right? Like, that's a good game for them at MSG, no doubt, right?
Yeah, the Johnnies are at home tonight versus Xavier. That should be a good matchup. I like the Johnnies minus the points. It's just Pitino's got his guys. And the key thing with St. John's, who is now nationally ranked again, I mean, I don't even know what the last time we could say the word St. John's and nationally ranked. It's the play. I'm sorry, Mafia. Kadari Richmond. Kadari starting to play. And when Kadari plays, he's one of the five best players in the Big East. And shout out to Rick Pitino for being honest. If they had the money, he'd still be at Seton Hall. That's the problem with college basketball. They didn't have the money. The kid left.
So the young guns back at San Diego State, they're laying a 14-burger tonight in Colorado Springs against Air Force. Meanwhile, Dutcher's team's been so average at 11-5. They can't handle that kind of wood, can they?
They're going to rely on their defense. That's why -127.5. I would rather just take the Air Force team total under. They play slow-down basketball. They lean on their defense tonight.
Does Pharrell's team win tonight in the winter season opener with the late 9:45 tip?
It ends in Y. It ends in Y. Of course you're going to win. Of course you're going to win.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Mike, let's take a look at these NBA games tonight. Despite the one game in New Orleans that's been postponed because of that strange blizzard they had down in the Deep South and in New Orleans.
Yeah, we do still have a pretty full slate besides that. We'll start in Atlanta. Pistons and Hawks tonight. Hawks -3.5. Big total here. 234.5 for these two.
You know, they've only played one home game, the Hawks, in January for whatever reason. They had a game postponed. They just had been on the road for almost literally every game. They're finally home. And they're going to win this game and cover. Like, you know, you got to have at some point, you got to play a home game. I mean, they have literally played like 10 games in January on the road, and they haven't been home at all. So I think they'll get it done tonight.
The Suns have been on an East Coast trip for a while. They are back to 500 at 21-21. Brooklyn, of course, played last night to get home against the Knicks. They're home again. Suns -12.5 here. At the Barclays, 215.5 is the total, as they will, of course, have Durant back in the house in Brooklyn.
Yeah, like I saw 13 even I can get on the Nets. I got to take that at home. I just have to take the points. Like last night, they lost by 4 to the Knicks. The Suns have been awful. They have been literally, take a look at their record in December and January. They've been one of the worst teams in the league. They have nothing but problems. Now, I know they're better than the Nets, allegedly with Durant and Booker, but that's just too many points for my blood. Give me the 13 spot at the Barclays.
The T-Wolves are in Dallas tonight against the Mavericks. And I know, Scotty, the Mavs have had a lot of injury problems this year. I believe they got another one added to the pile as Lively is going to be out for the foreseeable future. So it just gets from bad to worse for the Mavericks. The T-Wolves are -3.5 tonight, road favorites, 214.5 the total.
I mean, I'm in a risky like mood here. I'll take the T-Wolves on the road in Dallas. I think it's dangerous, but Dallas has a lot of problems. Generally, when we say guys aren't playing, they're injured, they got nothing but bad news, this, that, they still cover. They win. But I'm going to go with the T-Wolves here in Dallas because the Mavericks haven't looked good. I mean, I just saw them lose on MLK Day. I mean, it's just one loss after the next.
I think this is the game of the night. I know it's not part of the TV doubleheader, the national TV doubleheader, but the Cavs in Houston against the Rockets, who we've talked about a lot today, Cavs -1.5 on the road, 228.5 the total.
I mean, this is dangerous. I'm going to take the Rockets at the Toyota Center, getting the two, because this is like a giant game for them. I actually think the Cavs think, you know, it's just another night at the office. They go out and handle their business every night. They win every night. But I'm going to take this young team and Şengün and Green and Udoka and the whole deal and think that they show up tonight saying, look, we're going to prove that we're taking on one of the best teams, if not the best team record-wise in the NBA tonight in our building. We got to win this game. So I think they're going to take it seriously. I like the Rockets.
We gave you that those numbers before. The Hornets have been very good against the number in January. Well, they're going to get a lot of points tonight in Memphis against the Grizz. -12.5 for the Grizz, 240.5 the total.
I mean, honestly, they've won three in a row, and they cover almost every night now. I'll take the high risk 12 and a hook with the Hornets in Memphis, even though I've been sitting here all day bragging about how much I like the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies are really good. I think it's too many points against a team that's getting confident and playing well and winning and covering.
Jazz in OKC tonight. Heavy lumber here. 16.5 for the Thunder. 233.5 the total.
Yeah, I still think the Thunder thump the Jazz in OKC and win this game by 20 or more. I really do. That's how good they are. And that's how bad the Jazz are.
Sacramento, 7.5 against the Warriors tonight. This game's at home at the Golden One. 230.5 the total.
I love the Kings. You know, I saw the Warriors. They looked great the other night against the Celtics, losing by 45. So now they're playing another team that's on fire. Give me Sacramento, lay it.
And the Celtics are 12.5 at the Intuit against the Clippers tonight with the 218.5.
I like the Clippers and the points because they looked so bad the other night losing to the Bulls. I say tonight they show up and cover.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always love hooking up with Bob Nightingale, the best in the business from the USA Today, baseball writer extraordinaire. We always love having him on C2C. Bob, good to see you. Happy New Year. I want to start with this. Your votes for the Hall of Fame, originally when we did it, you know, the first time I said I only like Sabathia, Pettit, Suzuki, and then everyone said, well, they'll never let Pettit in because he juiced. So I said, all right, you probably got me there. So I would say, for me, it would have been Sabathia and Suzuki. And I knew Wagner would get in because he was so close. So how did you vote, if you're willing to say? And what did you think of the three that got in?
Yeah, all three very deserving. I voted for all three. I didn't vote for each row. And also voted for Carlos Beltran and Rube Jones and Omar Vizquel. So I'm pretty confident that next year probably only be two guys going in, and that would be Beltran and Andrew Jones.
Why do you think, you know, I saw Chipper Jones bashing the voting for not allowing Andrew Jones in. Do you agree with him?
Yeah, but not strongly. I agree with him. He was so great in Atlanta, you know, won all the Gold Gloves and, you know, over 400 home runs, but then just hit a wall. I think what people remember at the end was just, you know, showing up out of shape with the Dodgers. The Dodgers ended up releasing him. And just his back end of the career just cratered. It took a while for Robbie Alomar to get in. He was as good defensive second baseman as ever seen. So, but Chip, I mean, Chip is right. I think Andrew deserves it. You talk to those Hall of Fame pitchers, Smoltz and Glavine and Maddux. They all think they should get in. So he'll get in. But I just think people remember too much about the back end and not what he did at the beginning.
Have you ever voted for any of the juicers?
Yeah, a lot of times. I voted for my line of demarcation, Scott, was if you weren't suspended, if you weren't penalized. So before, you know, 2003, there was no punishment. There was no testing for it. So I voted for Bonds and Clemens year after year. You know, Bonds is, you know, maybe outside Babe Ruth, the greatest player that's ever lived. And, you know, Clemens, unbelievable pitcher. Sammy Sosa, great slugger. So that's why Pettitte has a hard time. He was in Mitch Report. He confessed to juicing. I don't think you want to see him as the first guy. Like, if you let him in, then why isn't Roger Clemens and Bonds and those guys? Bonds and Clemens weren't suspended or fined a single penny. I mean, Pettitte wasn't either, but he fessed up. The other guys did not.
Was Poppy not on the list, and he got in?
He was on that 2003 anonymous test, and later on, I think Rob Manfred helped him out by saying, well, there were some false positives there. So we're not sure if he was a false positive or not. He denied, I mean, he confirmed that he was on the list, but he said he didn't know how. So this was like a question mark. So, yeah, he was on that anonymous list, and so was Sammy Sosa.
So let's talk about the Dodgers and money. A lot of people are offended by the amount of players that they're signing legally and the money they're spending, which they're allowed to do, and no one else can keep pace with them. We had a conversation today already on this show about like the Pirates payroll and how Nutting is actually making money off of the TV deals and baseball revenue, and he's keeping all the money and not spending it on players. He's just keeping the money. That's why he won't sell the team, and that no one's selling their baseball teams these days because of that same reason. Are we close to turmoil in baseball and another strike based on the haves and have-nots?
I think we're looking toward that 2 years from now. That's when the labor deal runs out in December of 2026. I think the owner's going to push very, very hard for a salary cap. They've tried before. You know, haven't gotten anywhere. And they'll say, hey, we want a floor too. But I think people are very upset with what's going on with the Dodgers. At first, it was Steve Cohen and the Mets, and now it's all the Dodgers. Let's put it this way. The Dodgers make more money than anybody, and they make about $380 million a year just off their local TV contract. Ohtani brings in a fortune, so they can spend whatever they want. They still make money. Where the Mets last year lost about over $300 million, but Steve Cohen can afford it. So a lot of owners say, hey, we don't want to lose money. We don't want to make it either. But no one really, you know, has a hard time believing it, like you're making some money here. And, yeah, teams that get the revenue-sharing money, whether it's Pittsburgh, Oakland, some of these small-market teams, they're not spending it. Oakland's finally forced to get them $100 million because the Players Association is cracking down on them. At some point, I think they're going to start cracking down on Pittsburgh, too. It's like, hey, let's start spending this money.
So my friend Hacksaw Hamilton in San Diego reported that the Padres have financial problems. Is that true?
Well, remember they had to get a loan last year in September to cover payroll. So they're not going to add payroll, but they're going to try to keep it the same way. What the big fear is, a year from now, those contracts become bloated. All of a sudden, they escalate. Whether it's Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts. So a little bit of a money crunch. And they're maxed out with it attendance-wise. They sell out just about every game. So they got to be a little careful. Their payroll got too high for them, and now they got to, you know, bring it down at least below the luxury tax level.
So they're going to have to trade some of those star players.
Well, I mean, some of them are unmovable. I mean, no one's going to pick up those contracts. I think Tatis, with what Soto got and everything else, I think he's movable. I don't think it's not going to happen now, but a year from now, if they don't make the playoffs or everything else, then I could see it happening. But they have so much big star power there, the big contracts, and this is a big year for them because they're going to lose a couple of free agents at the end of the year. You know, Michael King's a free agent. Dylan Cease's a free agent. So if they don't win this year, watch out.
Yeah, but we've been hearing that every year, and they don't win. They win when it doesn't matter, and then when it does matter, they don't win. And that's the bottom line. Now let's go back to the Mets. What did you think of the Soto deal? And they basically spent all their money on one guy, and they're not bringing back Pete Alonso.
I wouldn't think so, but the fact that Alonzo hasn't signed yet, is it still possible to go back? It is. He's still out there. You know, would he take their three-year offer for, what, $70 million? Certainly didn't seem like he had any chance to, but the longer he's out there, you know, the better chance it is. Same with Alex Bregman with the Houston Astros. He could still end up back there. But, yeah, I think for the Yankees, it was better off that they didn't get Soto because they could spend the money elsewhere. They said if they get Soto, they were tapped out. The Mets haven't said they're tapped out, but watching their budget a little bit more. And this isn't a Steve Cohen production with Pete Alonso. It's strictly Dave Stearns, the president of baseball operations. He's the one, and all his analytic people are saying, we don't think he's worth more than $70 million. Prove us wrong.
So Toronto got Santander, but if they have been trying to get everyone, Ohtani, they tried to get Judge, they tried to get everybody. Well, why don't they go give Alonso some money? His bat would pop in that ballpark.
Oh, I think they would. I think they would. Same thing with Alex Bregman. They were in conversations with him, too. I don't think they're afraid of going over the second luxury tax or even the third one. They have a hard time getting people to play there, and I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's a custom situation or too far from home from a lot of guys because it's a beautiful city. Great facilities, yeah. And everything else. I just think people are afraid, like, if I go there, you know, are they going to build around me? Particularly with Vlad Guerrero free agent after this year. Same with Bo Bichette.
I go to games up there. I fly up to Toronto to see Jay's games and go to that ballpark all the time. I think it's fantastic. It's amazing to me that they can't get players. I think they should go get Alonso. I don't think the Mets want to give him any money, so the Jays should just do it. Bob, great stuff. Thank you. Good to see you, my friend.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk some college rack, Carver High.
Yeah, let's do that as we get set for tonight. Lots of good ones, but we'll do some things from last night first. Iowa State beat UCF 109-83. Smash City for the Cyclones in that one. Alabama also breaking a hundy, 103-87. That's two in a row breaking a hundy, right? Didn't they break a hundy against Kentucky on Saturday?
So
they're scoring a lot of points lately, the Crimson Tide. Tennessee beat Mississippi State 68-56. Marquette beat Seton Hall 76-59. How about Ohio State beating Purdue last night? I know you mentioned that with Coach before, but geez, Purdue, that's a tough loss for them. Ohio State's not a great team.
Listen, so Ohio State lost to Indiana in Columbus by one in overtime. Then they turn around and go win in what I believe is the toughest place to play in the Big Ten, in my opinion, without a doubt, is Mackey Arena in West Lafayette. Go take a look at the Boilermakers' record there the last 20 years. I mean, Painter's been there 18 years, Mike. They don't lose at home. They do not lose home games. I almost fell over when I saw that average Ohio State team beat the Boilermakers, caught them napping. You're talking about a Boilermaker team that's going to be a two seed. Right now, they're a two seed unless they fall apart. And they got a great team, even without Zach Edey. They really do. Painter's a hell of a coach. Couldn't believe they lost last night.
Unbelievable. Number 15, Oregon beat Washington 82-71.
Didn't cover.
No. UCLA, they beat Wisconsin 85-83, but I believe they were laying 3.5, if I remember.
They were.
In that game. So no cover for Mick Cronin. No blowups from Cronin last night, by the way. I guess he was happy with the win.
Listen, I will say this. If he gets fired at UCLA, I will take Mick Cronin at Indiana in 5 seconds. Seconds. In 1 second. Because they would finally get a guy that can coach and that has really the same type of bravado and temperament and intensity as Bob Knight had. What they've done at Indiana since Bob Knight is, they've hired all of these candy-ass femmes that don't coach with any, you know, onions. There's no intensity. They're, you know what they've done? They've gone soft with all this woke bullshack where you're not allowed to yell at kids. You're not allowed to treat players like Tom Izzo does. And you know what I say to that? Screw that. They need a guy like that that busts some asses down there in Bloomington. Because what they got now is Grandpa Jones. And he just don't win. And he doesn't yell at anybody. And I'll tell you what, the last time they won was with Bob Knight, three national titles, and he broke their asses like horses. And I'm telling you what, it worked. And Krzyzewski didn't put up with it either at Duke. That's why he won. You know, nobody talked back to Mike Krzyzewski. There's none of that. Same thing with Boeheim. No one talked back to him either. And I hated his guts, but at least he ran the ship tight.
So you're saying no more Tom Crean's and Archie Miller's and that old crew.
All that saltwater taffy. Bring Mick Cronin in there, and that'll be the end of the losing in Bloomington. That is the guy that they should hire. They blew it with Dusty May. Go steal Mick Cronin from UCLA, because I guarantee you UCLA wants to fire him. They're sick and tired of him yelling and screaming, because you know what they want out there? They want that same... you know, guy that goes to the country club and plays at Riviera and you know, has got a pretty wife and has a beautiful home and likes to go to Cabo on the weekend. They want that SoCal stuff. Mick Cronin is about as Southern California as a mule, okay? He is meant to be in the Midwest or the East. Remember when he used to win at Cincinnati? That's who he is. He's not some California guy, these phony ass California coaches. Who are you kidding? I'm right.
UConn beat Butler 80-78 last night. They got a game. Forget the game. Did you see Hurley yell at the ref? He was going bonkers last night. Well, said, don't turn your back on me. I'm the best coach in the Pharrell in sport. Yeah. He yelled at the ref.
Well, that did not go over well with other coaches. And, you know, he thinks very highly of himself, and he is a great coach, and he deserves the accolades because he won back-to-back national championships, which is almost impossible to do. But when you go around telling people that you're the best coach in the business, it rubs people the wrong way. And let me tell you something. Thad Matta went toe-to-toe with him last night in Hartford, and Butler played their best game of the year, and they lost by two to UConn. Let me tell you something. UConn has no chance at all. Zero. I give them zero chance of winning three in a row. Now, people say, of course not. No, everyone still thinks that UConn matters and that they're going to win another national championship. No, they aren't. That team they got right now, they're just not that good. And I'll tell you what, you can watch them and know that they're not championship caliber, particularly when their best player is some white boy that scores 19 a clip. When they had all the brothers there with all the talent that's in the NBA now, they were unbeatable. Caravan ain't carrying them to a title, even though he carried them last night. His 19 to me is boring. They're not winning a national championship this year. They will not win it. They're not winning the title. Trust me, you.
Texas beat Missouri 61-53. I believe you called it with Arizona State. They went into Morgantown and beat West Virginia 65-57. Louisville thumped SMU on the road. And there was a couple that I didn't even list there I wanted to get your thoughts on. Minnesota went to Iowa and won. Wake Forest beat North Carolina last night.
Told
Wyoming beat UNLV last night. BYU crushed Colorado
easy
in Boulder. There's a lot of big games last night, and I got a lot tonight as well when we come back. All of tonight's games we will get.
I mean, tonight's games are literally awesome. And the fact that I'm playing basketball when they're on really upsets me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's some serious action tonight in college rack carver high. Let's hit some racks of ribs.
Yes, there is some serious action in college rack. Why don't we start with some of the early tips? Utah in Houston tonight against the Cougs. Some heavy lumber here. I got this up to 17.5 now for Houston. Florida visiting South Carolina this evening as well. Florida -11.5. We have Kansas visiting Kansas State visiting Baylor. Oh, that's my next one. I'm sorry. I did have Kansas TCU. Bad job by my screen. Xavier and St. John's. That game's at the Garden tonight, playing in the big city. And Syracuse and Clemson on the road for the Cuse.
Yeah, I think Utah will cover 18. I can get it at 18 right now at the Fertitta Center. I think Florida gets it done in Columbia. South Carolina's really average. Kansas is going to win in Fort Worth. I think St. John's at the Garden tonight is money against Xavier. Xavier's been playing great. I'll give you that. They upset Marquette. Let's see if they can do it at the Garden. I think the St. John's team is headed to the tournament. They're really tough. I think they can handle the piece 7.5 at home in the big city. And then Cuse and Clemson at Little John. This is Clemson all over Syracuse. Syracuse is awful this year. They're waiting for Mello's kid to show up next year. They stink now. Clemson will roll them at home at Little John.
Next, you've been talking about this one, of course, Indiana visiting Northwestern tonight. That is the first game that we will take a look at on the second rack. -5.5 for Northwestern here at home. Boise State making the trip to Fort Collins this evening. We will go there next. We also have tonight Texas A&M visiting Ole Miss. There's the Kansas State game I was saying before. They are in Waco against Baylor. Florida State taking the trip way out west to Berkeley. They'll see Cal. They're road favorites, though, -2.5.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be easy, but I do think the Seminoles are flat out better than the Cal Bears. So give me Florida State against my better judgment, because I hate them. Baylor at home, I love in Waco. I think they'll cover the piece. Ole Miss and Oxford, same thing here. I think they get by A&M. Great game. They got to win by 3. Won't be easy. I like the Rams in Fort Collins. Jesus lives there. And listen to this, because I have told you that they suck all year long. I've been telling you left and right that they're not a good team. I'm going to actually take Indiana tonight and the 5.5 in Evanston, because first of all, I think Northwestern is as bad as they are. Okay, that's for one. For two, I watched them miss 15 free throws the other day against Michigan. They could have easily won that game at Chrysler, and they just kept bricking left and right. They're 11-7. Indiana is actually 14-5 with no impressive wins. I guess their best win is that overtime win in Columbus. I'm not going to get that excited about them, but I actually think they are better than Northwestern. I'll take 5.5 and see if they can win a game in Chicago. Indiana, the fact that they won on the road in Columbus, I almost fell over. If they win on the road in Chicago, then they got something brewing. And then everyone says they'll never win any of those games down the stretch. That's not true either. If they could play ball, like, you know, ball, play defense, move the ball, cut, go to the 10 and finish. Like, you can win anywhere if you just play ball. It's that they don't go out and play ball. They just go out. Like when they went to Iowa, they lost by 25. I mean, they get stomped because they give up. They don't ball out. They don't play. They don't play defense. They don't hustle. They don't dive for 50-50 balls. They suck. They're candy ass. So play ball and you can win some games. They're better than Northwestern. Go win the effing game.
And finally, Nevada visiting Utah State tonight. Utah State -6.5 at home. USC is in Lincoln against Nebraska, who's -6.5. Georgia and Arkansas. We've done all of Arkansas. They can't win in a bit in the SEC. It's been an awful year. They're laying 1.5 against Georgia tonight. San Diego State visits Air Force, laying a big piece on the road. And Miami also taking the long trip out to Palo Alto. Stanford, though, -10.5 against the Canes tonight.
Stanford's going to whack Miami in Palo Alto. I mean, forget about 10.5. They're going to win by 20. San Diego State, I'll bet my life they don't cover 13.5 in Colorado Springs, right? Like, you just think it's so obvious that they'll win. Trust me, they're not that good. Georgia and Arkansas. Arkansas has been awful. Give me Georgia in Fayetteville to win that game. I'll give you the others when we come back.